Praise the Lord. Are you ready for a sermon? How about a real message from the Word of God? That's even better than a sermon. And then at the end, we'll do communion. We have some people that are going to sing during the communion. And so I'm going to try to keep it short. Grace, grace, God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Amen? And today I want to talk about His grace at the table. You know, I don't know if you ever sat at the table with your family or your friends and said grace. And we kind of maybe made that, so trite, so trivial, so relaxed, you know. And I love to hear kids pray. Even Tommy prays over his grace, over his blessing, the kids do, and my grandkids. And I love to hear them say grace over the table. It just shows respect. It shows reverence. How many know you ought to teach your children how to pray? And how to be thankful for the grace of God to put food in front of you. And so the table that we're going to join today is the communion table, obviously. But I just want to talk to you as we think about this. Grace changes everything. Grace changes everything. And the reason is because the grace comes from Jesus. And how many know when Jesus comes along, everything changes? Anybody here, your life was transformed by Jesus? I mean, did you remember your life before Jesus? Wasn't worth two bits. How many remember your life after Jesus? What a joy, what a blessing to know the Lord and never take His grace for granted. When Jesus comes, things change. People are healed in His presence. How many know God still does miracles? They still happen at His command. How many know God still commands things? And things come into order. Resources are multiplied under His direction. Storms cease. At His word, be still, and the winds and the waves shut down. How many know there's power in Jesus' name? And that's His grace. You could be in a storm today, but He can speak to the winds, and they're gone. And if you don't praise Him for the one He brought you through, you may not have Him bring you through the next one. How many feel like praising the Lord now? You see, we can't take the grace of God for granted. Man, I don't know if you've ever been in times of anguish or torment when the Lord relinquished and released some things out of your spirit when you were down. That's grace. Sins are forgiven. Blind eyes are open. Deaf ears are unstopped. Right? The lame are made to walk. When Jesus comes, death is defeated and life is eternal. Some things come and change when you're in the presence of the Lord. So I say, come, Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord, to send Your grace. Give us freedom. Give us Your power in our weaknesses. That's real power. So we've been talking about grace. We talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Before that, we opened up with an intro to grace defined, and then Paul's thorn and God's grace. And what we realized, there's an incredible anointing in adversity. It's in adversity that the power of God comes. And if you don't realize that, you're always looking for more. God, get me out, get me out, get me out. And you can't grow while you're in. He sends adverse situations to anoint you. If you don't twist your mind and turn your mind toward a positive in that way, you're going to miss the moment. You're going to miss the mark. Satan's going to play head games with you, and you're going to think that God's not good. But I'm here to tell you, God is good all the time. And He's gracious and kind and merciful. He is so good. And whatever your need is, whatever you're missing, whatever you're longing for, just come to Jesus. And He will come to you. Amen? Just surrendering, you know. It's not in running. It's in resting. It's not in trying and striving. And it's nothing you do. It's everything He does. That's grace. He didn't have to do anything. Amen? But in His presence, we experience what it's like when Jesus comes. Deep calls to deep, the psalmist said. Our soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Aren't you glad today that you're not worshiping some stone dead God? That you're not steeped in a deep-seated religion that is full of false lies and concepts and merits? You don't have to work your way into something. You didn't get good. You got God. And God made you good. Amen? Big difference. So when your sins are washed away on the cross, your shame is gone, your guilt is gone, your sickness is gone, your inadequacy, They're always covered by the blood. Here's the point. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no grace for you. No grace for me. I thought about, Gina, naming this the message today, No Fried Rice for You. You got to know, it's a mission trip we went on in New York. And we were at a Chinese restaurant in New York. Serena, y'all remember. And we had so many, I don't know, 20 of us. And we had all kinds of different tables. And the lady came with her, you know, Chinese lady, and she's taking the order. I told her I'd like to have fried rice, shrimp fried rice, please. She said, okay. Goes to the next table. Well, Gina was the last table. I don't know what happened. Whether they ran out of fried rice or whatever, but she looked straight at Gina and said, no fried rice for you. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, you're never going to hear Jesus say to anybody, no grace for you. No grace for you. If you come to him, how many know he will give you his grace? You just walk up to him in humility. You ask him for forgiveness, and he will redeem you, forgive you, free you, pay your debt. And you could go back to him 1,000 times, say, here's $1, here's $2 on my debt. He'd say, what debt? Does anybody here know what it means to be redeemed? Canceled. You owe nothing because he graced you. Wow. You're the one he came for. And let him enter your life. Let him enter your life. I think when he comes, he changes everything. There's a better day coming. Amen. Wow, how many things, how many messages we could preach on the manifold grace of God. And then we, just a week or so ago, talked about shouting grace, grace to your mountain. Remember Zerubbabel? Shout grace to your mountain, Zerubbabel. Shout grace, grace, not one time, but twice. How many know the Lord met us last Sunday? Right here and spoke to us in a powerful way. And so the manifold grace of God, I don't know how long we'll be in here, but the theme text throughout the whole study was 1 Corinthians 9:8. If we have it up there, I'd like to go through it. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And stop right there. And Sosthenes, our brother. Now, I've been reading the Bible a long time, and I just saw popped out on the page to me. Who in the Carnations is Sosthenes, and I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. So I did some study to say, God, I mean, why is Sosthenes, why is he in there? And he was the leader of the synagogue. And he actually brought charges against Paul. And Paul was preaching in the synagogue at the church at Corinth. He planted 5 years earlier. And here he's writing his letter to the people of Corinth. He's gotten some letters. He got some complaints. And Katie, is that your mom? Welcome. Would you help us welcome Katie's mom? We've been praying for you, sister. Go ahead and give her a welcome. God bless you, sister. I'm sorry I didn't see you. I didn't shake your hand. But God bless you. Thank you. I know you got a baby coming. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, sorry about that. Squirrel. That's how it is. Sosthenes, though. That's kind of one of those things. Squirrel. Sosthenes, what is he doing here? Well, you know, evidently God's grace touched him because now he's a scribe. Now he's writing. Either Paul is dictating to Sosthenes and or he's writing or he's a scribe now. He got saved and he's in the Word of God. And Paul's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ in the will of God. It was God's will that he go to Corinth. Sosthenes could have been that for such a time as this person for Paul. God could have sent Paul all the way to Corinth for that man who was steeped in religion. Isn't God good? His grace. He's doing things manifold wise. He's doing things you can't even fathom. So even if you're in a trial right now, just a small season, light afflictions for a momentary moment, listen. Don't worry about it. God's on your side. His grace is going to be sufficient. You got to believe that way. Let's keep reading because somebody's getting happy now. So to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be his saints, with all the saints who in every place call on the name of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So stop right there. Well, you okay, just stay right there for a second. He said, I am an apostle called by God to the church at Corinth. And they had some problems. The Corinthian people had some issues. Saved, sanctified, it says. But God definitely wasn't finished working on them. So God graced them. God graced them, but he's not done gracing them. How many glad that the same anointing that saved you by grace is able to keep you by grace? It's the power of God. It's the power of God. We're going to talk about it a little bit and see if I have any time left to take communion. But grace to you, that's what he said. Grace to you is a very common phrase, opening up the letter, and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I thank my God always concerning you. For what? For the grace of God, which was given to you by Jesus. Could we just lift our hand to the Lord and thank him for his grace? It's amazing. It's amazing. Next verse. That you were enriched in everything. You were enriched in everything, Corinth. You were enriched by him in all utterance, in your speech. Some powerful anointing on your life, in your knowledge, smart. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, people knew that God graced you so that you come short in no gift. You come short in no gift. Is he writing to the same Corinthians I'm thinking about? Is he speaking by faith or what in the world is going on here? Eagerly, they were waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. Anybody great? Anybody think that's great? The God who graced you and saved you is going to confirm you to the end, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, church, what are we moping about? Why are we depressed and sad? Why is the world so anxious and filled with anguish when the same God who saved you confirmed you to the end and presents you faultless and blameless at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because God is faithful. Man, if I had to preach a three-word sermon, there it would be. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is that it? Good, because I'm done. What is going on? If I had to preach another sermon with three words, it would be God is able. Remember our text, 1 Corinthians 9:8? Wow. Well, if you don't, I'll tell it to you because First Corinthians 9:8. God is able, right? To keep. I'll just go over there and read it to you because it don't sound like you believe me. Does anybody believe me? Okay, chapter 9, verse 8. God is saying he is able. We can just stop right there. My story, your story. God has enabled you and enabled you, right? By faith to come to him by grace, you get saved. It begins with the power of God. I feel like preaching this morning. Does anybody here want to hear a message? We live in a day when the weakness in the church has never been more evident. I'm talking about a day where people are, I don't know, playing games, like carnal. And the Corinthian church got involved in a lot of carnality, found sin in the church, found all kinds of things in the church. And I think what happened is they just forgot that God is able. I'm glad to see pockets of revival and renewal here and there. But in a lot of places, I think the church is anemic, exceedingly weak. And I don't think it's everywhere, but it is some places because she forgotten or lost sight of the power of God. Come on, saints, God is able. I mean, if there's ever a three-word sermon, you just heard it. He graced you, and he's able to keep on gracing you. He's able. There's only one power we can operate on, depend on in his church. And if we lose his power, we are reduced to the same power the world has, which is no power. Their power is positional power. Their power is personal power. That's why they got celebrities on every platform and a lot of churches producing weak, carnal believers. People who love God but not giving anything to God. All they want is everything from God. They don't want to give anything to God. And they don't want to go through any heartache. I mean, no, God may have you go through a heartache so he can strengthen you. Paul said, it's in my weakness that he's made strong. It's the power of God, not the power of man. It's the wisdom of God. I don't need positional power. I don't even need personal power. I need Pentecostal power. I need spirit-filled power. I need God to be God. Because I have found out I'm limited in whatever I have to offer. Well, Pastor, what's God's power able to do? I'm glad you ask. His power is able to keep you from falling, Jude said in verse 24 and 25. Can I read it? It's okay. It's okay. I'll finish another day, and we'll let everybody take communion and sing and have a happy time. But listen to this. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling. He's not only able to save you in the beginning. How many know he's able to keep you to the end? Wow, that's good news. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. As Hallie said, how embarrassing. These young boys were in adversity, in an adverse situation, but had the joy of the Lord. And we, who have everything, can't seem to find a smile. What's wrong with us? We've been graced and forgot it. We've forgotten the power of God. I said we forgot the power of God in the house of God. So he keeps us from falling. Not only that, you want to know what else he does? Romans 14:4 says God is able to make us stand. So he's able to pick us up, keep us from falling. Then he's able to make us stand, therefore. And when you've done all you can to stand, stand. That's why by the power of the Spirit, by the armor of God. Come on. God's able. In our weakness, he equips us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so this is what he's doing. You want more? Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that is at work in us. Let me ask you a question, Oak Grove. Do you want the power of God to be operating in your life? Of course you do. Then you might need to be like the Apostle Paul and say, so therefore I glory in infirmities. Bring on the pain. Because for me to get to the third heaven, I may need to go through the third hell. But nobody wants to sign up for that. Nobody wants to go and be crucified. You know what? To keep yourself from being crucified by others, why don't you try this? Crucify your own flesh. How about that? Why don't you kill the old man? How many know if you're in Christ, you are a new creation? The old things are passed away, and now behold, all things are become new. That's the power of God operating in your life. I love this. Just keep preaching, Pastor. Just keep it. They're going to get it. Just keep going. That's God's power at work in you and me. Let God's power do the work. Let him work things out for you, my friend. He will excel your dreams. He will blow your imaginations out of the water. Trust his wisdom. Trust his power. Trust his might. Trust his ability. Trust his will. Trust his love. Don't take advantage of his grace. What else is God able to do, Pastor? You got to hurry up, bud. Philippians 3:21 encouraged me, speaking of what is to come for us concerning the body and its resurrection. How many know this old body ain't going to last forever here? I can feel it. In Alabama, I chose to work in the garden. You saw the landscaping. I just hit the shovel with my foot and like, oh my. Years ago, it wouldn't have been an issue. But I hobbled around. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. I was like, oh, I don't think I'm good for anybody over here. But how many know I needed to be there Because it's not my strength, it's His. It's God's grace. It's nothing I do. I'm just leading God's people into something. Have no idea. Have you ever done something you have no idea what or why or when or how? Have you ever found yourself somewhere and thinking, I don't think I'm making any difference at all? Can I tell you, God makes no mistakes. In your job right now, in your home right now, whoever's in your home right now, they're not there by accident. How many know God has a plan? You can speak life. You can make a difference through the power of God. It says in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue everything under His feet. If you haven't considered or established or come to grips with the Lordship of Christ, it's no wonder you've stunted your spiritual growth. I mean, no, He wants to be Lord of your life. By grace, He saved you. I said, I'm glad He's my Savior, aren't you? But He's also my Lord. And when we come to communion, when we come to the cross, it's two-sided. One is He bought me. That's one side. Anybody glad that my life is not my own? I've been bought with a price. By His blood, He bought me. He redeemed me. He bought me back. Are you hearing me? That's one side. The other side is now that He bought me, He owns me. So I'm a bond slave, not against my will. But I love Him so much. Anybody here love the Lord this morning? Do you love Him enough to go through anything? I mean, do you love Him just here? Okay, Lord, I draw the line. I draw the line. That's too far, Lord. I don't want to go there. Okay, Jonah, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? He's got a plan for your life. He wasted so much time. Jonah wasted so much time. God, ugh. Saliva in a whale or a fish or whatever. I don't know. I don't mind catching fish. I let Taylor take it off the hook. I'm not a sissy. I just don't like slimy, fishy, scaly, nasty. I don't mind it. If you fry it up and put it in the pan, I love it. But isn't that the way the grace of God is? He caught your old slimy, scaly self. He skinned you alive. He throw you in a hot bed of grease. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why are we complaining? Why do we mope and moan and gripe and complain all the time? Why? We are so blessed. Chapter 4 goes on to say that, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. I think that's the message. Stand fast in the Lord. I know we live in troubling times, and I get that. We live in a place where people are resisting the will of God today. But don't fear what men can do. Don't fear men who renounce God and say there is no God, who stick out their chest in arrogance and think they have no power. They have power to do whatever they want to do. How many know they don't have no power? God didn't give them power. They arrogantly mock the communion. How many know God will not be mocked? And the church better get this right. I said, you better get this one right. If you can mock this, then you're mocking the very sacrifice that God gave to you and for me to remember. Have we forgotten that our power comes from Him, from the grace of Almighty God? We can't forget that. I know there's Hitlers out there, and I know there's armies and missiles and dictators who strut their stuff and declare they are the law, but how many know they are not the law? I mean, no, God's still the law. But don't you take that as a gospel. Don't forget, God is able to subdue all things to Himself. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He's able to speak a word. This is just a little glimpse. I didn't even scratch the surface of the inexhaustible, limitless, immeasurable power of God. And grace is all that God has made available to us. His power. Can you thank God for that? His power. His character, His virtue, His patience, His love, and all that was the introduction All that was the introduction to the church of God at Corinth. Grace to you. They were living in sin because they forgot they were members of the body of Christ. Did you know, those of you who are members of Oak Grove, if you go and pull shenanigans, you know what a shenanigan is. It's a fancy word for your sins, your foolishness, the weights, the people and the things you do and say outside of this house. Did you know you represent Oak Grove? If you're a member of Oak Grove Assembly of God, you represent the whole body. Can I tell you something greater than that? You represent the body of Christ. You represent the body of Christ. You're an ambassador for God. You don't have a right to do whatever you want, say whatever you want, go wherever you want, drink whatever you want, smoke whatever you want, do whatever you want. How many know we've been bought with a price? Your life's not your own. Who do we think we are? We've been graced. Who would give up the grace of God for all of that? No one. Nobody in their right mind. And so, they were involved in lawsuits because of their failed attempt to see and make Jesus the judge of their motives and their hearts. They were involved in fighting because they forgot others were members of the body of Christ. I didn't come here to fight with you. I actually didn't come to make friends or enemies. I came to make disciples. And that's why we may not be busting at the seams. Because when it comes to discipleship, where the rubber meets the road, we're followers of Christ. We're ambassadors of the Lord. These are not my rules. I attempted to play golf this week. Chrissy, you can get them back on the platform, get ready to take communion. Ushers can get ready to pass this out. I attempted to play golf Thursday. And in the game of golf, it's not easy. I don't know if you think you're good at it or not. I'm not sure. It's quite a humbling game. I every time go out on the course, I say, why do you even go? I don't even know. I buy shoes and nice clothes, and a hat. I rent a car, got clubs. And I don't know why I just don't drive the cart, you know, right by and play polo golf. Just I've got ADD a little bit, and it's just too long. And when I play with it, some people who are perfectionists, you know, they look at the ball. They look at the right angle of the ball. They stoop down, and they look at the ball. They look at the hole. They measure the hole. I'm like, could you please hit the ball? I've got places to go. Oh, I'm starving. Are we going to get out of here before midnight? But if you took away the parameters of golf, the game of golf, the rules of golf, you took away the out of bounds, if you took away, you know, you only get four shots for par or three. I didn't get a birdie. I don't even think I hit par. Call me Mr. Bogey. And that's on a good day. But if you take all the rules away from golf, it's no longer golf. And I think the church in the 21st century has tried to take all the rules away. So much so to not be legalistic. But what they did is they became liberal. Now anything goes. No rules. But how many know God's going to have the last say? The rules are still in place, folks. You're part of the body of Christ. Brought there by the grace of Christ. Paid for by the blood of Christ. And I just want us to remember that today. Ushers, if you would, please. I'll preach the rest of this another day. Communion means a lot to me. I said communion means a lot to me. And the aggressive agenda in our world that tries to downplay one of the ordinances of the church. Listen to me. Whenever Goliath came against little David, he wasn't coming against David. He was coming against God's people, the whole army and the whole nation of Israel. Was he not? He was defying God. He wasn't even defying Israel. He was defying the God of Israel. So when little David, 16-year-old boy, who didn't have enough of anything, no armor, all he had was a slingshot, That's all he had when he came up there. He said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine who has an idea that he's going to defy my God? How many know that's the audacity? If the world's going to be aggressive like that in your face, how many know it's time for the church to rise up and say no more? We're going to preach Christ and him crucified. And we're going to believe it. And we're going to learn how to live in the grace of God.